I've had a little consultation, virtual consultation with Peter, and to catch us back up, I think we will defer item 9, the financial dashboard projected design review and update, to the next board meeting and go directly to item 10, unless folks are concerned about that. I'm seeing heads that are indicating that people are fine with that. So that being the case, we'll go to item 10, the human resources dashboard. Trisha Kershaw will lead this.
Thank you, Chair Imason. State Forester Doherty, members of the board, for the record, once again, Bill Herber, Deputy Director for Administration, not Trisha Kershaw, but I will be kicking us off before Trisha gets started with the HR dashboard. So like the chair said, we did have a little change of plan as far as what we're going to talk about today. We have in front of you several informational updates in a few of the service area delivery areas of administration. A couple of these have never been in front of the board before, so we hope you find it informative and useful. That's why we thought it was important for you to hear those. We will catch you up with the financial dashboard. That actually does give us time in working with MGO. Our consultants were a big part of that as we were working through that effort. And due to the COVID situation, there's been a little slippage on that, so that does give us some time to re-engage with them. So when we kick off to agenda item 10 with HR, Trisha Kershaw, our HR manager, will be discussing our agency's position overview, demographics, and recruitments and safety. So it's something you have heard before, but we have implemented a new human capital management system across the state. So you're going to see a little bit of the information that gets us. So it's a little different spin than what you've seen before. I did want to highlight a couple of the new topics real quick. You'll be hearing from our facilities program manager, Chris Stewart, and I've been happy to hear that our building infrastructure and deferred maintenance has come up several times in past board discussions. So I thought this was a good time to start that discussion on this very important yet often disregarded topic. It's funny, if you go out to some of our district offices, you'll see we're continually upgrading engines to newer and bigger versions, but they don't even fit in the old 100-year-old shops that we have in some of these districts. So I think it's a timely conversation we have. So Chris will walk through our portfolio and talk about facility condition indexes and then go into a strategic plan on a new pilot program to deal with some of our deferred maintenance backlog. And then finally, Joy Krozik, our public affairs manager, will wrap up with the public affairs program and their efforts and go into a little bit of dive into public information requests. But before we do that, I wanted to set the stage a little on the context of all of these administrative topics. So a little collective background. What you're going to hear from admin in all these presentations, and it actually came up with our last topic, is about data and information on various aspects of the agency, some of which we've never heard before, like I said. For example, Chris can tell you what offices are going to need HVAC replacements within the next 5 years. You know, that kind of information is powerful in the context if you think about budget developments. And that's a level of detail we've just never had before, and it's driven by the data we've been recently collecting. So a concept I bring up at Forestry a lot is that we're data rich and information poor. There's many drivers to that, whether we even need that information. And I think historically that need hasn't been there, but as we move toward more integrated and real-time operations across all our channels, it's more imperative that that information is working for us, empowering areas of focus and highlighting areas of concern. So you'll hear a lot about data, a lot about information, things we're pulling together to give us great management-making material. So a big obstacle, and you'll hear this, it's on the – oh, we don't have our slide. Sorry, I just realized we don't have our presentation up. You have the clicker, Trisha? Oh, yeah. I guess we're kind of to the back. Well, we'll skip that for now. What's that? It's way back, so don't worry about that. So a big obstacle is our siloed data and sitting in disparate systems. Now, this certainly isn't unique to forestry, as the state has many different systems ranging from 30-year-old payroll systems to, like I said, cutting-edge human capital management systems that have just been implemented last year. But forestry is very good at siloing data. On many fronts, it's driven by our operational need for new technologies, but then lacking the information systems maturity level to quickly leverage these emerging technologies in a manner that is benefiting the agency as a whole. So one strategy to increase maturity levels in an organization is prioritization of efforts based on business goals and not perpetuating the problem with the introduction of standalone efforts. And that's why admin is in front of you today, to ask those kind of questions. What is the information that helps the leadership of the organization, the board, the state forester managers, make informed decisions based on trustworthy information? And that just came up this last topic. So as you listen to this following presentation or these following presentations, keep those questions in mind. What do you want to see? How do you want to see it, and how often? We will be presenting to you, but we're also here for your input. So please provide any questions you have along the way. In addition, also be thinking of opportunities to learn more about the work we do, areas you'd like to see highlighted in other forums, and how this information supplements your understanding of the organization. With that, I'll let Tricia take it off on the HR dashboard.
All right. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Emerson, State Forester Doherty, members of the board. My name is Tricia Kershaw. I'm the HR manager. I've been with the Department of Forestry just under a year, and this is my first opportunity to be able to present to the board today, so thank you for having me. I'll try and remember to click through these. So just a high level of some of the things that we're going to cover today is a position snapshot of the agency total headcount, some succession planning, some diversity data, recruitment statistics, and safety. The information that I'm providing you today is from January 2019 to December 2019, with the exception of safety, which will be reported on a fiscal year. The reason for that is we rolled out and transitioned to Workday in 2019. And so the data and the statistics that we have is for the 2019 year. So at the end of 2019, the total headcount for ODF was 644 employees. This consisted of 527 permanent positions, 60 seasonal positions, 32 temporary, and 25 limited duration. You'll see during the fire season, we increased to a total headcount of 1,116, with a significant increase in our seasonal and temporary employees, with an increase to 487 seasonal employees and 72 temporary employees. The total headcount for 2019 might be a little bit low on the general average due to vacancies that we had, and mostly in state forests due to the workforce featuring. Well, I hope you can see those numbers. So here's our retirements. For the end of 2019, this is the total agency count, and we had our workforce, 14.7% of our workforce is eligible to retire at the end of 2019. The graph that you're looking here is the percentages of employees who are eligible to retire based on the total headcount for each individual area. This total includes 58 employees who have 30 years or more of state service, and 8 of which are in management positions, which include area directors, district forest managers, and PEMD and higher. You'll notice on the graph that their highest percentage is 18% for the Northwest Oregon area, and they have the highest retirement eligible retirement rate, with a total count of two district foresters, that includes two district foresters and also an area director. Those are really small. Sorry that those are ended up coming out really small. So as you are aware, we went through some challenges this past year, and we were in cost containment, so some of our succession planning had been put on hold. We made the decision to postpone our agency leadership program until we were in a better place, and also postpone any external leadership opportunities and development trainings as well. With the implementation of Workday, there are some features in Workday that we have been utilizing and continue to utilize. As far as succession planning, there's an opportunity graph that allows employees to look at their position and their qualifications and where they're at and what the natural progression has been in other careers. It also will show them the list of employees who have actually gone through that transition and that in their careers, and allows them to reach out to them to also talk to them about how their careers evolved. It also identifies the skills that they need in order to progress to the next step in their career, and also identifies some of the gaps that they may have. With that, they can develop a utilize a development plan and work with their manager collaboratively to identify what those skills gaps might be in order to prepare them for a future in advancement in their career. We plan on continuing to utilize the developmental and work out of class opportunities. For 2019, we had a total of 71 employees in work out of classes and lead work assignments. With the transition of the old system into the new system, it makes it a little bit difficult to get a good reflection on the success of succession planning, but based on the total number of internal promotions, which you'll see on the next slide, I think we're doing pretty good. So this is a snapshot of our total recruitments for 2019. This excludes any seasonal positions. And you'll see on there that most of our positions are filled internally and through promotions. There was only 5 external promotions, which means they were promoted from another agency into this agency. And the remainder of those, I think it says 49. Sorry, I can't really read it, but 49 that were promoted internally. And that's higher than our permanent employees, which is at 38. We also recently recruited and hired a recruitment analyst who is focused on evaluating our workforce metrics and developing recruitment strategies to accomplish the agency goals. We're reviewing the entire recruitment system or process, including our job announcements, our screening criteria, and how we screen our candidates, all of our evaluation tools, and also the job requirements for some positions. We're developing action plans so that we become more of a active recruiting more than passive recruiting, which includes an increased outreach, leveraging network groups, resources, and partnerships with other agencies and organizations. We implemented BidRecruiter to make interviewing more accessible to other candidates, especially candidates in other areas. This allows us to do 2 formats of recruiting, either live interviewing, or they can also record at their own time, and the panel members can watch it on their own schedule as well. We also launched a new recruitment video, which highlights the diversity of the jobs that ODF provides. And we did this to visually appeal to our candidates so that they can get a sense of what it's like to work at ODF and what jobs we have to offer. And it also emphasizes the inclusivity of the environment and also profiles men and women in the video. And then we're going to continue to focus on diversifying our panels, our interview panels as well. So those are just some of the things that we're doing in recruitment. For our diversity graphics or demographics, you'll see here that there is quite the disproportionate number in both gender and ethnicity. We have a total of 603 employees, 407 of them are males, and 196 of them are females, and over 90% of our employee population is white. So what's interesting about this slide is when we look at the total candidates that are applying, even though the diversity of the ethnicity of our candidates is still low, they're actually more proportioned for men and women. We actually had 44.9% women apply versus 55.1% of men who are applying. But what we're finding is that the higher ratio is more men than it is women. So So for safety, we're reporting this on a fiscal year. This is a five-year snapshot. You'll see that for fiscal year 2019, we actually have had more hours than we did in fiscal year 2018. We had a total of 1,659,432 hours for fiscal year 2019. But you'll see that the number of our injuries was actually lower than it was in fiscal year 2018. And I'll show you that on the next slide. So here you'll see that for fiscal year 2019, there were 69 injuries. And again, with more exposure hours than we had in 2018, where we had 81 injuries. And then to break that down just a little bit further, the claim frequency in 2019 was actually 8.32 per 100 employees. That's also a lot less than 2018, where we had averaged a 10.4. The main causes of the injuries for these is sprains and strains, slips, trips, and falls, and miscellaneous causes such as objects in the eye, inhalation of smoke, poison oak, or insect bites. So that concludes my end of report.
Jim, Kelly.
Just had a quick question for HR at the Department of Forestry. You know, HR tends to be rather schizophrenic. Could you just comment, you know, there's usually three different areas in my view for HR. One would be recruitment and hiring. The other would be all the rules and regulations and enforcement. And then the other bucket I would see would be employee support and development and safety. Can you give me an idea, in your department, as a whole, how it would break down between those three buckets as to where you guys spend your energy and time?
That's a really a great question. Right now I feel like we're spending a ton of energy in all three of those areas. We have a lot of work to do. Obviously by our recruitment statistics, we have, in diversity, we have a lot of efforts that are going towards that. You know, our policies are outdated. We've been putting a lot of work into those and reviewing those so that we're ensuring that we're, you know, coming up to date, and in alignment with DAS and also the, contract for the CBA. So, you know, I have a team of 13 now, which is a bigger team than what we've had in the past. And so we have the senior generalist working on the policy and revisions. And then, I have two senior recruiters that are actually working on, looking at and refining our recruitment processes.
Okay. Thank you.
And, Cindy and then Brenda.
Yeah, thanks for the presentation. It's nice to see this information. A couple of observations sort of for future presentations. In general, it would probably be really useful to have the information presented as trends over time. And secondly, it would be really useful to have the information presented in the context of some goals. So, you know, diversity goals, training development goals, you know, that sort of stuff, as opposed to just the raw numbers. And then on, you sort of got there through the course of, two successive slides, but on the safety information, you might, you know, again, in order to allow a clear, transmission of information on trends over time, you might present safety as in over time as injuries per 1,000 hours worked or something like that, so that you can see how we're doing. You know, are we better this year than last or not in a really coherent, easy to comprehend fashion. But I like the presentation. The information was very useful and good to see. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for the feedback.
Brenda?
Yeah, I also enjoyed this. Thank you very much for this information. I was curious, though, about retention. especially, so the workforce is dominated by white men, which is, I guess, not unusual at all. For the other underrepresented groups, how are we retaining them? To Jim's point, are they feeling supported and are they being retained? And are we doing anything to understand when people leave, why they leave? I'm just trying to get a better handle on, you know, what sort of things are we doing to try to make sure that we do recruit diverse applicants and hire them, but also that we keep them and they're successful.
Yeah, that's actually a great question, and we've had lots of discussion about that too. You know, it's not just about diversity, it's about the inclusiveness once they're here. And so, you know, looking at the whole recruitment is from the whole life cycle, right? So it's from the beginning where you're reaching out to your candidates to the life cycle of bringing them on and also retaining them. So, you know, I think that's an area where we can certainly improve on. We don't have a lot of diverse employees. So to say, are we retaining them? It's really hard to know that at this point. You know, but it is something that we've had discussions on, and we're actually partnering with other agencies and having discussions with them about, you know, where are we at right now and where do we need to go? And what have they done? So, making sure that we're kind of taking, you know, the initiative to change that culture and to make sure that when people are here, they are feeling included. So.
Yeah, thanks. I think a very simple statistic that might help understand that is for those people who do leave the agency, how long have they worked there? And take a look at that by demographic group. And if it's shorter for some groups than it is for others, that might be a clue that something is going on.
Okay, thank you very much.